Promise 2K18. We are continuing the series on it. Let us move on with the verse to read all together. Shall we all read this verse together? The reason why we keep reading God's word, trying to fill in the blanks in it, is to have an impact in our lives much more than just reading it once. So let's read this together, please, all together. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Let's read this in Telugu. Tana nitya mahimaku, Kristu nandu memunu pilachina sarva krupanidiyagu devudu, koncham kalamu meeru sramapadina pimmata, tane memunu poornulga chesi, sthiraparichi, balaparichunu. Urdu. अब खुदा जो हर तरह के फजल का चश्मा है जिसने तुमको मसीह में अपने आबादी जलाल के लिए बुलाया तुम्हारे थोड़ी मुद्दत तक दुख उठाने के बाद आप ही तुम्हें कामिल और क्वायम और मजबूत करेगा आई कुडंट हाईलाइट दैट येलो इन द उर्दू लैंग्वेज बिकॉज आई कांट रीड इट सो आई वॉज एबल टू जस्ट हाईलाइट इन द इंग्लिश लैंग्वेज मे द लॉर्ड एनेबल अस टू फोकस आवर अटेंशन अपॉन दिस second aspect about the four jewels, as I was mentioning the other day, last time, that C.H. Spurgeon mentioned that there are four jewels on a black foil. The four jewels are, what are they? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But the background is a black foil in terms of suffering that we go through in our lives, that the jewels that come out, that are displayed on a black background, gives the perfect understanding of the way in which God is doing his work in us. He's the one who's ultimately going to perfect us, establish us, strengthen, and settle us. The word establish, if you have an English Standard Version, it uses the word confirm. It uses the word confirm. Confirm, establish, they seem to be very similar. The word confirm means establish the truth or correctness of. To be able to establish, to reinforce someone, to establish the truth. Somebody says, are you coming? Okay, they say, okay, I'll come. After a few days, they say, can you please confirm? And what do you say? Yes, confirm. So this word confirm is to be able to establish the truth or to be able to say the correctness. Yes, it is confirmed. Can you please confirm? To reinforce someone in a specific belief, that is what confirm is, confirmation. To be able to make it firm to the statement that you have mentioned. Establish also has come from the word stablis. Stablis is an old English word. That's why if you use a King James Version, it uses word stablish. There's no E. It just says stablish. And then over a period of time, they use the letter E before it and it is called establish. So perfect, stablish. Stablish means to be able to become stable. To be able to be firm enough. So there is a Greek word that is used here. And that Greek word is sterizo. Sterizo. What is a sterizo? It means to establish, to be steadfast, to confirm, to place firmly. That is the word that we want to be able to understand here. Sterizo. You know the word steroids that have come to be able to be steadfast. Some people go through some difficulties and they are given steroid, but some people use it in the wrong sense as well. And this word sterizo has come from another word, root word, which is stereos or stereos. Not the stereo that we say mono stereo from an audio perspective. Maybe it has come, ultimately it was called stereo later on. But stereos means solid. Solid, not liquidy. Not keeping moving here and there based on the circumstances, but become solid, to become firm. And today, as you filled in the blanks here in the English language that we have in the sermon notes, I hope you have filled in the blanks. I took it back to that particular slide so that you can fill in the blanks. May the God of all grace, he's a God of grace. He's a God of all grace, all sufficient grace. And a surpassing grace, supplementary grace that he has given us. He has called us to his eternal glory in Christ by Christ Jesus. He has called us. He has given us a calling to his eternal glory. That calling is there. Each one of us are going to step into that eternal glory that he has given unto us. That is why when some people die, what are they called? They are called to glory. What does it mean? So-and-so was called to glory. To be able to say that every one of us are ultimately called to his glory, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, having experienced the grace of God in our lives, he has called us to his eternal glory. That glory that he has promised us, it is eternal. But while we are here on this earth, we go through sufferings in our lives. That is what that mentions. After you have suffered a while, many of us, we keep thinking, God has saved me. I have become a child of God. Why should I live on this earth? I could just leave. But God is preparing us in such a manner that we will be able to experience his glory. While we are here on this earth, we are going through sufferings in our lives in order to be able to be blessing to others as well. When I go through sufferings in my life, I need to be able to reflect upon certain things. So, Lord, in what way are you teaching me lessons? In what way are you allowing me to go through these sufferings in my life in order to be able to know one thing, that he is the one, he would perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Last time we have meditated upon perfect, and today we are going to see this establish. Establish is a word that we want to focus upon. And may the Lord enable us to really focus our attention upon this. I want to share with you about this particular picture. Most of us have received this church promise. If you don't have this church promise, it has the same background, by the way. It has a tree with roots. And probably you may be wondering, I haven't mentioned about this all this time during the series, but there is a reason for being able to put a picture, not to just put a picture for the sake of putting a picture. In what way is this particular picture of a tree and the roots that are seen below is applicable for this verse that, or the promise that we are focusing upon? Usually you don't see the roots. But the deeper the roots, the stronger or firm the tree is. And that is what we want to focus upon. The fact that unless and until we are deep rooted, there is no way in which we can be able to see the firmness that is there. When there is a storm that comes, what happens? The tree that has strong roots are able to withstand the storms that come. Similarly, if we have strong roots, we will be able to withstand the storms of our lives. So the first thing that you and I need to be able to note, you can note it down in the picture that you have. I think we put the picture of the tree as well. You can note down on the bottom, rooted and built up in Christ. Rooted and built up in Christ. What is this? This is rooted and built up in Christ. As part of this establish, there's a first and foremost, or the foundation that is essential in our lives, is to be rooted and built up in Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Let's all read this together, please. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. As you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, verse 6. To be able to have that experience of receiving Jesus Christ into your heart. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 2. For those, let's see that, John chapter 1 and verse 2. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. Nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. But as many as have received him, angikarinchukunnam, that I want to receive Jesus Christ in my life because it is God's will in my life. Because we are born, it says in verse 13, not by any, neither of any, but by the will of God. And as many has received him, he gave the right to become the children of God, those who believe in his name. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart of hearts, recognizing that he has come into this world to die for me on the cross of Calvary? He's the only one who can save me from my sins. Because I cannot save it myself. There's only one, that is Jesus Christ, who saves me from my sin. Have you received Jesus into your heart? If not, maybe the time has come for you to receive him into your heart of hearts. According to the word of God. With a repentant heart, to be able to receive him into your heart of hearts as your personal Savior and Lord. Then it makes sense for us to read Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, where it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, not only as your Savior, but also as your Master, as your Lord. Somebody said, you can't say no Lord. It's always yes Lord, yes Lord, yes, yes Lord. Yes. You cannot say no and also use the word Lord. What does it mean? When the Lord Jesus is telling us and giving us the word and to say, walk in my ways, how can we say, no, Lord? That means we are, it's an oxymoron in a way to say, to be able to use the words no and Lord. That is why there's a song also that was written, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. If God says something to me, I want to obey his will, no matter what. I want to be able to obey his will. So here we notice, walk in him. How do I walk in him? How do I make sure that my way of life, my walk of life is in him? In him is by 7, verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Rooted and built up in Christ. Are you rooted in Christ? Is the seed of the word of God sown in you in order to be able to cause roots to be produced? You know, now spring is coming up. People are going to sow seeds. Maybe in your pots or in your backyard or your front yard, you may be sowing seeds. What will happen to that seed? It is sown, it is buried in the sand, and it slowly be able to start germinating. And the roots are produced. And then slowly you will see a plant coming out, a shoot coming out. And then it produces the size it is designed for. Sometimes it becomes a tree as well. The point that you and I should be able to understand is we need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be built up in Christ. The rooting should start and then only the building up begins. There needs to be a foundation in our lives that is essential. May I ask you to be able to focus more on being rooted first. Before you display your life as to who you are, there should be a hidden work that should happen in your life. That is why, though we in the picture, it is shown externally, but typically you don't see the roots. The roots are always hidden under the ground. And you and I need to experience Christ in our private life. In our personal life, people may not see that rooted life in you, but God looks at you. He is the one who is watering in such a manner that the necessary germination happens. My dear brother and sister, are you getting rooted in Christ? For you to be established, that is the most important aspect. That is why in verse 7, the first thing it says is rooted. Rooted and then built up. Let us see a few more portions that talk in this manner. In Ephesians chapter 3, how we can be rooted and grounded. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Verse 16 onwards, let us read. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. These roots that are unseen is the inner man. I want to be able to really get the necessary nutrients from the roots to be able to go up into the trunk and the branches. To be able to be strengthened in the inner man, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Are you rooted and grounded in love? Are we able to experience the love of Christ in us? That's what it says in verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You and I need to be able to be rooted and grounded in love. We need to have that clarity, my dear. We should have a strong foundation that needs to be established. If you don't have a strong foundation, you cannot have a proper building. Some people say that you need to dig deep enough to be able to know how big the structure should be, so much deep the foundation, appropriate percentage of the foundation has to be established in order to build certain different levels or stories of the building that needs to be built. But the foundation is essential in our lives. Are we being rooted in Christ? Are the roots getting the necessary nutrients that are required? You pour the water. Even though you sow the seed, you don't see the plant, you still pour the water. The water that we talk from a spiritual perspective is the Word of God. The Word of God should sink in to our hearts, and so that we may be able to get the necessary growth or a built-up that is essential. Back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 7. The first thing that we want to note, identify here is after being rooted and being built up, it says in my translation. We are constantly being built up. We will ultimately be established at the coming of Christ when we are called to eternal glory. Yes, but on a daily basis, we are being built up. That is what we also meditated last time, perfection. We are being perfected. We are being built up in Him. And it says, establish in your faith. The first thing that you and I, let us note it down, is to be established in faith. As you are rooted and built up in Christ, you need to be established in faith. It is very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to be established in faith. Are you established in faith? You may be able to recognize that by faith you are saved. Through grace, yes. That is a saving faith. But how about your growing faith? On a daily basis, are you being established in faith? The Word of God enables us to be established in faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Not only is the saving faith, but the establishing faith. The faith that we need to be established in, God wants us to have that specific establishment of faith in Him. In Him, to be able to have that faith. And I hope that you and I may be able to be established in faith. And for that, we also need to be able to recognize that each one of us are needed to be established in faith. We are coming together. And when we are together as a fellowship, each one can help each other to be established in faith. Let us see that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. Please read.
And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith.
Yes, and to be able to establish you in your faith, it says in some other translations. To establish you in your faith and to encourage you in your faith. That is what, to comfort you concerning your faith. He is our fellow laborer, and I'm sending him in order to establish you, to be able to establish you in faith. Sometimes God sends his people. God uses a fellow brother or sister, or if you have a believing spouse, your believing spouse also could be a fellow worker, fellow laborer, to establish you in your faith. So let us thank the Lord for fellow believers that are with us, who are establishing us in the faith that we have. Having rooted and grounded in love, to be able to recognize that I need to be established in faith. There are many whom God has used in order to establish us in faith. There are many men of God, women of God, who have passed before us, who are called to glory. Over this past week, we have heard multiple stories, multiple incidents that have happened where a woman of God was called to glory. And within a few minutes, we came to know that another man of God was called to glory. And these people were a source of encouragement to many to be established in faith when we listen to the sermons that are shared. Or any way in which we their life itself would be a testimony. Just like Paul is saying, I'm sending Timothy to you to strengthen you, to encourage you, to establish you, to comfort you in your faith. God is using other people in order to strengthen us in faith. Anne Graham Lodz, Billy Graham's daughter, regarding the death of her father, probably you must have come across this particular statement from her. Regarding her daddy, my daddy is home, she said. I don't know if you have heard that, but I just want to read it because it was really encouraging me in order to be able to be established in the faith through people who lived their life. My father's legacy is one that encompasses the world, she said, and engulfs my own life. When I think of him, I don't think of Billy Graham, the public figure. I think of my daddy, the one who was always a farmer at heart, who loved his dogs and his cat, who followed the weather patterns almost as closely as he did the world events, who wore old blue jeans, comfortable sweaters, and a baseball cap, who loved lukewarm coffee, sweet iced tea, one scoop of ice cream, and a plain hamburger from McDonald's, who was interested in everything and everyone from the small to the great, whose mind remembered details that even a computer would have trouble recalling. This is what her daughter is mentioning. But when I think of him, I also think of his message because he was immersed in it, saturated in it. He was his message, a simple man who had responded to God's love by placing his faith in Jesus, receiving the assurance that his sins were forgiven, that he would not perish but would have everlasting life. Simple faith. Faith that now matters more than anything else. For years over his head, as he preached, was a banner that quoted the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus completed that sentence by saying that no one comes to the Father but by me. Based on what Jesus said, Daddy is safely with the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me. Daddy is safely with the Father in heaven. Daddy not only claimed Jesus as the only way to God, he lived by the truth publicly on platforms and privately behind closed doors and is now enjoying real life. I have often stated that I was raised by a single parent because ministry took my father away from our family for weeks and months at a time. Daddy estimated that he was gone from home approximately 60% of his children's growing up years. Now he has left again. This time he will not be coming back. At least not until Jesus does, too. While he may be physically absent and his voice silent, I am confident that his message will continue to reverberate throughout the generations to come. My prayer on this day of his move to our Father's house is that his death will be a rallying cry, that tens of thousands of pastors, teachers, evangelists, and ordinary men and women will rise up to take his place, that they will take up his message like a baton being passed in a relay race and faithfully pass it on to those with whom they come in contact. Because Daddy's message is God's message. And it's a message of genuine hope for the future, of love for the present, of forgiveness for the past. It's a message when received that brings a fresh beginning, unshakable joy, unexplainable peace, eternal significance, meaning and purpose to life, and opens heaven's doors. It was this message which Daddy carried to the world that penetrated my own heart as a young girl and has created in me a personal, passionate resolve to communicate it myself to as many people as possible. And so even as my tears seem to be unending, I silently rededicate my life to picking up and passing on the baton. Would you do the same? It is not about remembering the life of a person, how they lived. Yes, there are many lessons that we can learn about great men of God and women of God who passed before us. But it becomes a challenge for each one of us to take up the baton and move it along. There are tens and thousands of people, ordinary men and women, pastors, teachers, and evangelists will rise up to take up his place. To be able to say that we don't have such kind of people. Nowadays we have so many preachers, so much of media that we are not able to really recognize who are the right preachers, how they are preaching the word, etc. How about you? Can you stand up? Can you stand up to the occasion, to the plate, to be able to say, Lord, you have called me to stand up for you. I want to be able to be a person who will share the word of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ, even whether it is a one-on-one basis, personal, or if you have given me a calling or a gift to share it publicly, I want to be able to stand for you. That is what the commitment I have made in order to be able to say, Lord, help me to be able to make this message or the gospel that I need to share with others to be able to be a simple message rather than complicating it in such a manner that people are not able to understand it. It should be a simple message. Simple words that make an impact. A simple man using simple words for them to understand in simple words. Later on, they might understand the theological terms, but to be able to recognize that Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for you and for me. He is the one who can save you from our sins. Because we are bound to eternal destruction. And there is no one. It should become a burden within me and within you to be able to reach out to the lost. To be able to say, Lord, these people are perishing. And while we are getting established in faith because of the lives of others, when you read the biographies of various people, your life should be able to be strengthened in such a manner to say that, Lord, I want to live for you. No wonder. No person is perfect in this world. We are being perfected to the extent of fully perfected when we are called to eternal glory. So we can find faults with people. We can find faults with people. But that is not what our goal is. It is about how my life can be transformed through the word of God. If I look at a person, I may not be able to reach out to the extent of being able to live how Christ lived. I want to take the example of Christ and to be able to live it out. And when others are being an encouragement for me, I want to take that up and move on in my life. Otherwise, I will become a person who keep thinking about how the other person lived rather than thinking about how I should live. That is what I'm learning. To be able to say, Lord, more than looking at others or judging others, I want to learn. How much can I learn from the word of God or the lives of others? So that is what it is, that I need to be established in faith, rooted and built up in Christ. And if God is using some people in their lives to be able to be an establishment for me in faith, I want to take it up. I want to take it up, but not to the extent of saying that they are imperfect people. Yes, every person, I'm also an imperfect person. Every person in is imperfect. Only Christ is perfect. But he's making us perfect. He is making us established. That is what I'm learning in my life. And I hope each one of us are having a similar kind of understanding as to how we can be established in the faith. How is my life? How is my life impacting others with the simple truth of who Jesus Christ is? And then getting into details. Next one that we can understand about establishment is to be established in word and work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. Please read.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word.
It's interesting that the English translations use different words. The next sermon would be on strengthening. But the word establish, sterizo, The word that we are seeing here in other translations that we see in other things, it says 2 Thessalonians 2:17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Good word and work. Everything, work and word, it says. Some of the translations, it reverses work and word. Yes, both are essential. I need to be established in the way I speak. I need to be established in the way I do things. That is my personal goal and desire. Lord, as I'm getting established in faith, I want to be established in every good word and work. Can that be our commitment to the Lord? Saying that, Lord, I want to be cautious in what I use, the words that I use. I want to use good words. I want to use God's word. I want to be able to live according to God's word. I want to work for the Lord. In what way can I be an encouragement for somebody else so that they can be established in faith? I want to be established in every good word and work. For that, the Lord is giving us, imparting to us his spiritual gifts so that we can use it for his glory. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, "For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you so that you may be established." So that you may be strengthened, in other words, you may be established. In what way is he saying it? That I may impart some spiritual gift to you by laying on of hands, asking God to be able to use the spiritual gifts for his glory. I'm asking each one of you, those of us who are part of the body of Christ, who have received Christ as their personal Savior, do we know what the spiritual gift that God has given you, or gifts for that matter? The purpose of spiritual gifts that are given to us is not only for the perfecting of the saints, as it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, but also Romans chapter 1 and verse 11 says, that spiritual gift that is given to you, that you may be established. The spiritual gift that is given to you is that you may be established. Yes. The purpose of God giving you that spiritual gift in your life, whatever is a specific gift, that you need to use it for God's glory, for good word and work. Whether it is a speaking ministry or serving ministry, there are two kinds of spiritual gifts. Where people use words, they speak for strengthening, for encouragement. They are speaking gifts. There are serving gifts also where there is no speaking, but you keep serving. You keep doing things. But they are also the spiritual gifts that can be utilized for the glory of God. They are unseen sometimes, but they are spiritual gifts that are being used. And these gifts that are imparted to us, much more than anything else, the Spirit of God himself is given as a gift to us so that he may establish us in every good word and work. And may the Lord help us in being able to go in that direction. The third one that we can note down in establishing is to be established in righteousness. In righteousness, not only has he given us the robe of righteousness, that we may be established in righteousness. Note it down, Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 14. Isaiah 54 and verse 14. This particular chapter is talking about the fertility, it says, fertility of Zion, where there is no fruitfulness that was seen, and God is promising. And he says here, even if you go to the previous verses also, verse 13, all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness will you be established. In righteousness. What is this righteousness? To be able to be right in the sight of God. And only his righteousness that is bestowed upon us, we should be able to say, Lord, help me to be increasing in righteousness. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Yes, I want to learn how to be able to be righteous. Yes, Lord, you have imputed upon me the righteousness that I have needed, but I want to be established. I want to be established in righteousness. I want to be taught by you. In verse 13 it says, all your sons will be taught of the Lord. God wants to make us his disciples in such a manner that we are taught by the Lord. Lord wants to teach each one of us. Lord, help me to be able to be growing and establishing in righteousness that helps me to move forward in my personal life. In every way, your righteousness should bring forth in all directions. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1.
For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning.
Yes, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness. My righteousness that Christ has bestowed upon me, I want to be able to be established so much so that not only my salvation like a torch that is burning, but my righteousness should go forth like brightness. Lord, help me to be able to learn more about your righteousness. Not my self-righteousness, but in what way am I able to understand the right things that God wants me to do? That is what righteousness is. And I cannot be righteous by my own. I want to be established in the righteousness. That's what the word of God says. And he says here, I will not keep silent. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness. We need to be the ones who can be able to show forth the righteousness of God, saying that it is not me. I am covered with the robe of righteousness. And others should be able to see that robe of righteousness and to be able to see that, okay, I understand. We are all saved sinners. This person is being able to live out a life in such a manner that the righteousness of God is being brightened in his life. Not our self-righteousness, but verse 2. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2. All nations will see your righteousness. The righteousness of God that is being able to come forth like brightness. He wants to be able to have that. If you go up in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10 also. What does it say? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. 61:10. My soul will exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. That is the kind of righteousness. He's wrapped me around. Wrapping. There is clothing me with garments of salvation. They may be inside. But the one that is wrapped around is a robe of righteousness. And God looks at us on that righteousness that we are given. And he has justified us. Not only has he justified us because of the robe of righteousness that was put around us through Jesus Christ, but also he wants to be able to let that righteousness become bright, to be able to be seen by others. That is how I need to be established. That should be our prayer. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. There's a song, take me past the outer courts into your holy place. Past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. I hunger and thirst for our righteousness. In that also, the songwriter says, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. May the Lord enable each one of us to be able to have that experience of the righteousness of God. And if you read the book of Romans, it talks about the righteousness that was imputed upon us. Even in the Bible studies, we are meditating upon the righteousness of God. There's nothing that we can claim. Our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. But the righteousness of God has to become brighter and brighter, and we need to be established. And that is what you and I should be able to say. Yes, these are the works of God. In every good work and word, I will be able to be established so that the righteousness of God is established in my life. And that is how you and I can move on. The next one, the final one that we can learn is establish in holiness. Establish in holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, verse 12 onwards. May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness. So that he may establish your hearts in holiness. God wants to establish us in holiness as well. The righteousness and holiness. These are the attributes of God himself. And he wants to impute those qualities in us so that we are blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's making us holy. We have meditated on it in the past also. That not only is he perfecting us, but he is saying, be holy for I am holy. The holiness of God. There is no way in which the holiness of God can be experienced by ourselves other than him to be able to work in us, to be rooted and grounded in us, so much so that the sap goes from the roots all the way to the branches and to be able to give that attribute of righteousness and holiness in us. And through the word of God, he can strengthen us to become holy. And that is what our prayer and desire is, that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness. And that is our prayer, that we may be able to be cautious with the temptations that we come across in our lives. May the Lord enable us to become holy in his sight and move on in our lives as well. There is one aspect when I was meditating upon the God is Able series that I want us to be able to recognize, that this establishment is part of that as well. God is able. God is able. God is able to deliver me. God is able to save me. God is able to perform his promises in my life. And also, God is able to establish me. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Let us look at that and try to understand this wonderful God who has given us this benediction as well. In verse 25, all of us, let us read this. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 all together, please. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, verse 26, but now is manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith, the only wise God through Jesus Christ, be glory ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to establish you. God is able to establish you. He's able. My God is able. Even when it comes to establishing me, to make me strong and to make me firm like a solid. On Christ, the solid ground I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I need to have a solid foundation in my life. I need to have proper roots. The roots need to be well built up. The roots should be strong. If the roots are strong, the plant or the tree will be strong. And when you are going through situations in your life, when you are going through sufferings in your life, right now, you may be going through some situations in your life. You may be saying, how is this applicable to my life? In what way can I apply these principles in my life? God is saying, his word is saying, I want to establish you. I want to establish you. You be rooted properly. You get the strength from me in order to be able to establish you, so that external circumstances that come into your life, when you are going through storms in your life, maybe family situation, maybe family troubles, maybe job-related troubles, maybe some kind of emotional, financial situations, all those storms that are coming in your life, how is this tree going to withstand that? Suddenly you go down to the roots and say, Lord, strengthen my roots so that I may be able to be firm. How firm the foundation. The firm the foundation, the strong the building. The firm the roots, the strong the tree. The firm your faith, the strong you are able to be able to withstand the storms in your life. So may I encourage each one of us sitting here. The troubles you may be going through in your life, the Lord wants to establish you in righteousness. It says, Isaiah 54, 14, it said, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression. You will not fear, and from terror it will not come near you. Because God is saying, I want to establish you in righteousness. And so much so that you will not be afraid of the troubles that come in your life. And while he is establishing you, you may be going through sufferings in your life. You may be going through sufferings in your life. Your lifetime is going through different sets of sufferings. Some people have one long suffering throughout their lives. Some people have sporadic sufferings. They keep going through different sufferings. One time family related, the other time financial related, another time some other kind of job related. Different situations you may be going through in your life. But God is saying, after you suffered a while, these sufferings that you are going through is to perfect you, is to establish you, so much so that I will be able to bring you out, bring the best out of you as you get established in righteousness and holiness. For that, the Lord has given us his word, and he's establishing us to the extent of being able to be firm in his faith as well. May the Lord bless this word.